When you sing that song, it better be well with your soul. And I'm thankful that it is. Church, it's great to see you. I hope that everybody is doing very, very well today. Obviously, we've got a lot of folks that have been mentioned that need our prayers. And so I hope that the rest are doing well. It's sure great to see you today. We've got a good attendance here and certainly been a great worship service, a great start to this Lord's Day through Bible class and our worship service. You know, there are, throughout the Bible, so many different, I guess, examples of people needing humility. You've heard us sing about it today. You heard us read about it through Grayson and Tad today. My mindset today is preaching from Luke 14 on a passage that I think is just remarkable that we'll look at in just a moment. But throughout the Bible, God really emphasizes humility. And certainly, Jason, when he came up here and he led prayer, he said, we're humbling ourselves before you. And I think certainly as Christians, we understand that we are to humble ourselves before God. But you know what? They did in the Bible too. But it's something about recognition. It's something about all the times that somebody may do it through encouragement, but it may build people up to a point where they think, hey, you know, I'm a little bit bigger than I need to be. And to me, that's illustrated the most in all the kings of Israel and Judah. We could really go through that whole list, and we could see men like Saul. Remember, Saul is the very first king of united Israel. And when they were looking for him, they couldn't find him because he was so filled with humility that he was kind of hiding amongst all the baggage there. And he was tall. He's taller than all those around him. But that being said, he was this humble man. But then he got the throne. And once he got on that throne and he received that power and he received people bowing down to him and giving him recognition, you remember how jealous his heart turned when David came along. And David is the one who kills Goliath. And then after that, people start chanting David's name, right? Saul, he killed thousands. David killed tens of thousands. And so Saul became very, very jealous. Well, what about King Ahab? I don't know if there was ever a time in King Ahab's life that he was humble, but I don't know him a lot before he became king. But I know when he was king, he had all this power, right? He had all this authority. And, of course, he had a wife that encouraged him to do evil and to do things and get things. And remember, he wanted that vineyard of Naboth. And Naboth wasn't willing to give up the vineyard. And Ahab was very jealous of that. Or what about when it was time to replace David? Even David, by the way, had some times that he loved power. I mean, even though there's not an opportunity that we see where he really falls. I mean, of course, David is elevated through it all. But he wanted another man's wife. Remember, Ben, he got that wife. And so all of them had it. But going back now, when David is about to become king, remember, Solomon is going to become the next king. But David has another son, Adonijah, who thinks he should be king. And if you read about all that, there's a lot. I mean, Bathsheba gets involved in everything. And so all that to say, we have to guard ourselves. Because as Christians, we are so blessed. And as Christians, I mean, think about this morning how much of a blessing it is that you woke up in a country that knows God. You woke up in a family or were raised in a family or somebody led you that was like a family to Jesus Christ. And today, we are part of His kingdom. What a blessing that is, right? But I think sometimes what happens is we might elevate ourselves and look down at others. And see, nowhere in Scripture does God say that's okay. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you ought to elevate yourself and get on your own throne and move Jesus off of it. And so, if humility is really from Genesis to Revelation spread out through all those books, I believe it's something that we need to pay attention to. Now, no one here may explicitly say out loud, I want everybody to notice me. I don't believe that we consciously go out and say, hey, I want you to look at me. I want you to notice me. I want you to understand how good of a person I am. But it may come across when somebody else gets thanked and we don't. Somebody else gets some recognition and we had a hand in that too, but nobody thanked us. When somebody chooses somebody else to serve and they recognize somebody and maybe they look over you, maybe that is a way of saying, I wanted them to notice me. When somebody else's name gets called and ours doesn't, maybe that is a way of saying, I wanted everybody to notice me. You see, sometimes the clearest evidence that we want recognition or wanted recognition is how we respond when we don't receive it. And to me, that's what makes Luke 14 very uncomfortable. In Luke 14, let me set the scene for you here. Jesus is not talking to openly wicked people. You need to note that. He's not talking to a bunch of lost, evil people. He's sitting at a Sabbath meal, and in his company are religious leaders, scholars, and those who are devoted to the law, and they're all attending with him. In other words, these people knew their Scripture. They knew the law. We say today, they knew their Bible. These people, we'd say today, were very faithful in their attendance to Bible class, to worship. They pray all the time. They care about people. They're religious people. And again, Jesus has surrounded himself with all these people about to have this meal. And here's what happens. He watches them fight over the best seats. Look at it now with me. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. Luke records that now he told a parable to those who were invited. Why would he tell this parable? Listen. He came up with this parable. I don't think Jesus was planning this. But he came up with this parable after he observed all these folks fighting for the higher place. Listen to it. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor. Here's what I want you to see before Jesus, we get into the parable Jesus is going to tell there. Here's what I want you to see and understand. Jesus notices. He notices. He notices what our motivation is. Listen, Justin and I are part of a podcast where we're really trying to talk a lot about community. We're trying to talk about encouragement. We're trying to talk about building others up. And we should do all those things. And I'm going to preach it from the rooftops. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs to be told they've done a good job. Everybody needs to find Grayson and find Tad and find Jason and find folks like that and tell them, hey, I appreciate you. Appreciate your words. Find Steve and tell him all those things. That matters, right? It matters. Find the Sunday school teachers and thank them. But here's the deal. We can't allow that to enter us and make us feel so special that we think we are better than we ought to think of ourselves. We can't look for the higher place. Now, when these folks sat down, they may not have purposely set out to say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to make him sit here. They may not have thought anything of it. But Jesus did. He noticed where they sat. He noticed their desire for recognition. And he noticed their desire to feel important. Well, guess what? He still notices today. You see, Jesus notices not merely where we sit, but why we sit there. And I'm not talking about your seats in here. He notices, in other words, why we serve, why we speak, why we give, why we lead, why we post, why we volunteer. He notices why we want a certain position, why we would want our name attached to that. And when we feel slighted, he notices when somebody else receives credit and we don't. You see, Christianity is not merely about what we do. It's about who we are becoming. Jesus does something that the world would be totally against. He does a lot of things that the world would be against. But you know what the world would say? Go get noticed. Go get yours. Go do it your way. But Jesus, in all of this, people searching for greatness and applause and all those things, he changes it all with one command. Choose the lower place. Let's read the whole thing now. Luke chapter 14. Whoops. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. Again, now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. So that when your host comes, he might say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the person who spends a lifetime striving to go to the higher place, you know what eventually happens? They come crashing down. But Jesus also said the person who is willing to find that lowest place, they're the ones he's going to exalt. So in case we get so caught up in doing good and it feels good to do good, and it feels good to be encouraged to do good, and we get so wrapped up in that that we think we are too good, here's some lessons according to Luke 14 that will remind us the importance of humility. Number one, we need to understand pride always looks for the better seat. In verse 7, again, he says he noticed how they chose the places of honor. Our seats of honor may take on different forms, right? It could take on a title. It could take on recognition. It could take on a position. It could be the applause. It could be the influence. A platform. Even a church position. Now hear me out. There is nothing sinful about holding a leadership position. There is nothing sinful about receiving recognition. I believe we ought to recognize people. I believe we ought to celebrate people. I believe we ought to encourage people. But the spiritual danger happens when our heart needs that to stay motivated. You see, there are people, and I'm not saying here per se, but there are people, even in churches, that when somebody else, oh, you did a great job over Vacation Bible School, or you did a great job over that event, or you did a great job over that meal, or whatever. There are people that will get their feelings hurt and get devastated if somebody else receives that recognition and they don't. You see, that's when we need to check ourselves. That's a dangerous place to be. Because we've gotten wrapped up in feeling the admiration. We've gotten wrapped up in feeling the applause and forgot why we're doing what we're doing. So we need to ask ourselves this question. If no one knew we did it, would we still want to do it? You know, Steve talked about that widow with two mites this morning. Do you realize when she put those two mites in there, she probably had no clue anybody was watching, especially Jesus. She did it because she knew it was what she was supposed to do. But 2,000 years later, that humble lady is being exalted because it started with Jesus exalting her. She didn't set out to say, hey, 2,000 years later, they're going to be preaching about me. That's not the mindset. So if nobody knew you did it, would you still want to do it? If nobody applauds, if nobody posts about it, if nobody mentions your name, if somebody else receives all the credit, would serving Jesus still be enough? The wonderful opportunity we have, the blessing we have to be able to serve Jesus, would that still be enough? You know, pride doesn't always shout, hey, guess what? I'm better than you. Hey, guess what? I'm better than everybody out there. Pride doesn't always shout that. Of course, that is pride, the people that would say that. Sometimes pride just whispers, why didn't they just notice me? Why didn't I get any credit? Why did they applaud someone else and not me? You see, Jesus warns about that. He said in Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. In Proverbs 16:18, it's probably one that you're already thinking about, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, I need you to know something. I appreciate all the encouragement. I appreciate all the joking. I appreciate the things you tell me after sermons. And honestly, I want you to keep doing it. But I need you to know, I will not and cannot get wrapped up in that. Because if I do, I'm just as guilty. You see, I shouldn't get wrapped up in doing things to please the elders, right? Well, they're your boss. I understand why you want to do that. Well, I get that. I understand. I know I'm a fellow elder with them, but I can separate myself and understand I'm still a hired employee of this congregation. And yes, they signed my checks. And yes, they could fire me. But you need to know something. When I lay my head on my pillow at night, it's not to please them, it's to please Him. And that's what our mindset has to be. Once that is our mindset, you want to see service take off? You see, you can serve out of genuine love for Jesus, or you can serve out of a love for being seen serving Jesus. Now, that action may look identical, but the heart of it is entirely different. Pride always looks for the better seat. But also we need to note humility. Here's what it is. It's trusting God with your value. In Luke 14:10, Jesus instructs, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. Because humility is not thinking less of yourself. Do not think that in here 1 minute. And let me tell you, as a counselor, I understand what struggling with low self-esteem is. I understand sometimes what not loving yourself is. I understand thinking less of yourself. Nowhere is that taught. In fact, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, we got to love ourselves. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Here's what it is. It's needing less of yourself. Humility is being so secure in God's love for us that we don't need the best seat to affirm our worth. You know what humility confesses? Humility says and confesses, God sees me. God knows me. And God is enough for me. In Romans 12:3, Paul exhorts us, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:7, he writes these words. He asks the question, what do you have that you did not receive? Now put those two together. A man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And then he asks the question, what do you have that you didn't receive? In other words, everything you have. Every ability, every talent, every opportunity, every breath, every dollar, everything is unmerited grace from God. So our stance can't be, well, I'm just more blessed. I'm sorry, I'm just more superior. It's got to be, I'm just that blessed by God. You see, superiority and humility, they don't go together. When I seek the higher place, then I can't even fathom the lower place. But when I seek that lower place, it's God then who blesses me and exalts me to that higher place. Remember who said what he said in Luke 14. That's Jesus, right? So I think this is important to understand. The one who said it, Jesus, he chose the lowest place first. You see, Luke 14 is not just advice. It's literally the life of Christ. Tad came and read to us from Philippians 2, 1 through 11, where Paul is dealing a lot with what exactly I'm talking about today. But especially in verses 5 through 8 there, it illustrates what Christ is trying to say. Paul writes it about Christ. You see, he had the highest seat. You know where he's sitting today? At the right hand of God. That's the highest seat. But here's what he did. He emptied himself and came to earth to take the lowest seat and to take the form of a servant. God in the flesh walked among us in genuine humility. In fact, Paul wrote there that he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You ever wonder why he said that? Because it was the lowest of deaths. To be crucified meant you were a robber, you were a thief, you were a Barabbas. You remember on that day, they let Barabbas go free. He was a murderer. He was a thief. That's who received crucifixion in Roman times. Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, even the lowest death he could, the death of the cross. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." I used to make this joke a lot, but maybe it was based on some truth along the way. You know, we just have this mindset that the youth group ought to, and listen, they ought to be serving, right, Taylor? We agree with that. But they ought to be just doing all this, pick up the trash and do all these things and everything else. Like that person that walks outside and there's a piece of trash. And they're like, "Can you believe there's a piece of trash right here on the ground? I'm going to call Taylor right now." He ought to get that youth group up here and they ought to pick this trash up. And I can't believe the youth of today. You see, that mindset is, "I'm too good to pick that trash up." That mindset is, "I'm going to blame it on somebody else." You know what Jesus Christ do? He'd pick the trash up, throw it away, and never tell a soul about it. Because that's what it means. And I know that's a silly illustration. But literally, our mindset can be, "I'm too good to pick that up." You know what? It's a fellowship meal. That's right. I'm going first in line. And I'm going to fill my plate up so much so that I won't even eat it all. And you might be thinking, we're not doing this, but then sometimes when we get a little bit closer, maybe we are. Or how about this? I'm going to come to a fellowship meal and eat whatever I want to eat and not bring one thing. Or, you know what? Hey, that young couple that's getting married or having a baby or whatever, man, I'm busy today. I'm busy. Do you know that is the number one, got to be the number one catchphrase of all, "How are you doing today? I'm busy." I mean, stop. Then we're too busy then. Am I too good to do that? Are you too good to do that? Jesus is not too good. And He was God in the flesh. If Jesus served and humbles Himself to the point of the death of the cross, what assignment is beneath us? What person is beneath our care? Finally, this morning, it's God who exalts those who stop exalting themselves. I told you from the outset, this is against the world. Because here's what the world's going to say. Here's the world's wisdom for you. Strive upward and advance yourself. It's all about you. But here's what the kingdom of God should have us do. Step downward and serve. The world's going to tell you, promote and market you. The kingdom's going to tell you, humble yourself before God and others. The world's going to say, demand to be noticed and to be recognized. The kingdom says, stay quiet, stay humble, stay faithful. Peter, another guy, by the way, who struggled with pride. Do you remember when he received the vision that had all the unclean animals on it? And the vision told him to rise and eat. He said, oh no, these things are unclean. But he was told in that vision, the things that God made, they're not unclean. In other words, it was, hey, go teach the Gentiles. They're not unclean. So Peter, yes, let's go teach them. Cornelius, all these others, let's go teach them. And you know, as long as the Gentiles are around, guess what? God said, you're not unclean. I need to help you. But then when the Jews were around, he's like, those Gentiles are unclean. They're not good. You know what Paul did? He called him out on it. But here's what Peter wrote under the inspiration in 1 Peter 5:6. I think he got it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Promotion in the kingdom is God's duty, not ours. That kind of exalting, it happens on God's timeline. It happens according to His purpose. And it happens solely for His glory. Jesus entered this world in humility. Think about it. They didn't even have a room for Him. They found a stable. This is the Messiah. They've been prophesying about Him for thousands of years. And at just the right time, God said, Jesus, go. And Mary is with child, and it's time for Him to be born, and no one had any room for Him. So they found that stable and put Him in a food trough for a bed. Throughout His life, even at 12 years old, He was telling people, it's not about me, I have to be about my Father's business. He served all His life. And then as Paul said, He began, we know how it started, He began in a food trough. Paul said He died the lowest death, even the death of the cross. But do you know what happened after that? God highly exalted Him. And gave Him, according to what Philippians 2 says, the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Every atheist who's ever walked this earth, one day will bow down. Every criminal who's ever walked this earth will bow down. Every religious person that thought they were too good will bow down. Satan himself will bow down. Now it'll be too late. But they will acknowledge that He is the name above all names. But it started in a food trough. And it went to a criminal's death. The gospel today is very straightforward. Don't chase the best seat. It's exhausting, really. So give up the exhausting pursuit of human praise and self-promotion. That's what the gospel is asking you to do. Give it up. And then it says, start lowering yourself. Not think less of yourself, but need less of yourself. Joyfully embrace service. And put others ahead of yourself. And then finally, trust God with everything else. See, that's simple, right? Don't chase the world. Don't chase human gratification. Choose service. Choose humility. And let God take care of the rest. That's why Jesus said in Luke 14:11, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Today, the gospel is straightforward, and the path to it is as well. Today, if you're ready to give up the world, all you need to know is Jesus. Now, you need to know the whole Jesus, but you just need to know Jesus. Today, if you know that Jesus is the Son of God, and you've turned, you've purged out all your past sins, you've repented of them, you've turned from them, today confess His name. Be immersed in water. Allow God to wash away your sins. Allow God to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Allow God to add you to His forever family. Today, if you've done that, and since then you let little things bother you and offend you, and people getting recognition, and you put yourself ahead of others, and you didn't realize it, but maybe something we said or something we sang or something we did today said, "Hey, you know what? I got to do better. Maybe I need to come forward. Maybe I need to repent in my seat." Well, here's the thing. Joe's going to lead us in a song. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to give up the world, to pursue humility, and let God take care of the rest. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.